Yes, Lord, there is freedom in you by your power. You died for all of us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for rescuing us, Lord, and bringing us to you. And allow us to see, Lord, with compassion the needs that exist, Lord, in this congregation and also outside of the congregation, Lord. You have called us for a reason in this community, Lord. We have a part to play in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for giving us direction, your grace and your favor in so many ways, Lord. The resources that we have, Lord, and the blessings in our lives. And Lord, as we go to the Word this morning, we ask that you give us a heart for these things, Lord, that we are talking about, Lord. A heart for your heart, Lord. A passion for your vision and your kingdom, Lord, in such a way that we would do everything within us, Lord, to obey your will, to obey your word, Lord, and to apply, Lord, these things constantly in this congregation and also in our lives, Lord. Thank you for everyone here this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we go to the Word, your Word will encourage, your Spirit will convict and bring direction in every heart, Lord. And Lord, in those that are here, Lord, under difficult circumstances, Lord, we pray for help, for freedom, for strength, for wisdom, Lord, for renewal, Lord. Guide us, direct us in your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to invite you to take a seat this morning. Thank you, Melissa and the worship team. Beautiful worship. Amen. We do have beautiful worship. Praise God. And a great time of connecting to the presence of the Lord through this time of worship. I want to invite you to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. We're going to read all the way to verse 43 this morning, actually. So 36 to 43. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to remind you that Peter is being challenged by the mocking in this passage of the Jewish community who have seen the pouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And as they were speaking in tongues and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was evident, people is mocking them, and yet Peter, under the direction and the boldness of the Holy Spirit, he stands up and he starts proclaiming the message of the gospel in such a way that he brings conviction to these people, to this group of people. Now, we're not going to focus on the whole message. We're going to focus on the result of the message this morning. But before I even read, I want to mention a couple of things to you. And one of them is that when the church of Christ lives out its calling, there is power. How many of you know that? When the church of Christ is living out its calling in full extent, under the power and in the direction of the Holy Spirit, but also under the structure of the Bible, it's a beautiful thing. It's very, very powerful. And as Winter Park Christian Church continues to minister in this community, it is our prayer and it is our heart and our passion that we will live out our calling in this community. Amen? Now, what is God calling us to do in 2022? What is the message of God for us at this point in time? As I mentioned in the beginning of the year, we are to serve and we are to grow in Christ to produce fruit this year. Serving and growing in Christ in 2022. And as I continue to develop this idea and vision of God for us as a church, and mainly because as elders and also as a staff and already a lot of the ministers and leaders of ministry in this church, we have met and talked about these things. I want to go to this passage today and then explain to you what our vision and our passion is in this congregation. If you are new, and if we are here already, and maybe you are connecting again after COVID and everything that went on in the last 2 years, what is our vision and what is the aim of ministry in this congregation? So, let's go to the Word first here in verse 36. Peter is sharing the message, and as he finishes the message, he says, let all the house of Israel, so this is the Jewish people who are mocking them, as I said, therefore know for certain that God has made him, he's talking about Christ, he's made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, this is not a friend-seeking message, okay? He's very bold. He's under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, you crucified Christ. You denied the giver of life. And then in verse 37, when they heard these, they were cut to the heart. Conviction is taking place. The Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And also the message that Peter is giving by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? I mean, they realized they were against the will of the Lord, going on their own direction, and they are convicted and they want to change. And look what Peter said to them. Join us for church next Sunday and I tell you what to do. No, he didn't say that, right? He didn't say that. You know? Why don't you come over for dinner and I'll tell you what we do. No. Look what he says. Repent and be baptized. Repent. That's the beginning of transformation in the gospel. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at the structure for the new church, the establishment of the first disciples and followers of Jesus Christ under the direction of the Holy Spirit by Peter, and how he's preaching to them and saying, repent, baptize yourselves in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the forgiveness of sins and then receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. And then look what it says in verse 39. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. This message of the gospel, and I'm going to mention, amen. This is good. This message of the gospel today is very important for the little ones. For the little women that are here and the middle school boys and the high school boys. Because this promise of the gospel is not just for the adults, he said. And it is our responsibility and it is our job to bring the promise of the message of the gospel to the children in the congregation. And this is the heart of this message this morning in a big part. And then it says, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Not different from our world today, right? Do whatever you have and whatever you can to attain to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the way of the Lord and the truth, because that's the only place of freedom. But we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in the time in which we live. Now look in verse 41. So those who received his word, the message, the truth, they were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls to the church. What an amazing miracle. And then look in verse 42 and 43. And they, the disciples, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, number one. So consecration, separation, dedication. That's the word right there. To the apostles' teaching, number one. And the fellowship, number two. And the breaking of bread, number three. And then the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. I look at this and I think, Lord, I want this. How many of you want this? I want this for the church. We want and we pray for revival. I love when the Holy Spirit moves. In those moments when I come here to the pulpit and you've been here and we can't even continue to preach. And the Holy Spirit just says, worship. Now, I don't want to manipulate those things and push them out in the flesh and try to appear godlier or holier or more sanctified or more spirit-filled than it really is. But I want you to know that as I look at this, I think, Lord, we need you more than ever in Winter Park Christian Church. We need the gospel, the message of the word to be proclaimed in such a way that people will be convicted every Sunday. But we need a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this room that is so evident that when people come to this room, they will leave this place saying, we experience God on Sunday morning. Pray for that. Pray for that. And in every Bible study, every gathering, every event in this congregation, that the Holy Spirit will be guiding us and directing us continually, as well as in the school and every event that we have in the school, every teaching. That's the only way for us. But as we look at this passage this morning, and as I say, the Church of Christ, when the Church of Christ lives the calling of God, there is power and beauty. We see the need after COVID, after almost 2 years of many people in isolation, and many of the things that have happened in our last months and years, we see the need for connecting in fellowship, for service in the body of Christ, and also for growth. And the reason is we want to produce fruit in 2022, as I said before. But if we're not connected as a body and we're not in fellowship, knowing the needs of one another, and if we're not in service and in growth, we're really not producing fruit. In 2020, when COVID came in March, and we had to close the church for a few months, 2-3 months here. I think it was close to 3 months that we had to close the church. And I never stopped coming to church. I was coming, and 10, 12 of us were here during the leading of worship and the message and the projections and the sound and all that. And it was very, very hard for me. It was horrible. I mean, to stand up here and preach, and there was just 2 people here, 3 people, and I feel like I'm really preaching to the choir now, because everyone was part of the staff, okay? And I'm like, yeah, they're nodding, and they're like, yeah, we know what he's going to say and all that. But, you know, there's a cable out there, and you don't really know if people is paying attention. And I want to be honest with you. I had to question myself and ask the Lord and say, Lord, is this what you're calling me to do? And we were well already into the transition between Pastor Doug and I was going to step up in the beginning of 2021 as a pastor, and Pastor Doug was going to, you know, still be around and help us. But I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this. If this is the new era for Christianity and for the church, I don't want to do it. Because this interaction and this fellowship really allows me to be real here, okay? And to know that God is with us. And really, in the last few months, you know, I had to stay home a few Sundays, 2 or 3 Sundays, because I flunked the test, you know, the COVID test. So I was told to stay home. And I had to be in front of the couch over there and you know, the TV and just... And I stand up, you know, and I'm clapping my hands. I mean, you know, I clap my hands out of rhythm sometimes. And then sing, yelling, you know, my wife is like, okay, a little lower, please. And I go in my own direction, too. And my neighbors are there in the summer, and they're listening to me yelling inside the living room because I'm worshiping. And they're like, something's going on in the pastor's house today. But, you know, I thought, this is not it. This is not it. And I know that the live stream is a means of connecting with some out there that are sick and have difficult situations to be here. And we praise God for that. But we know that we need to be connected. Amen? We need to be connected. And if something we learn from COVID is the need for us to be the body of Christ growing together and functioning together and accomplishing the will of the Lord. Now, last year, through all this questioning and praying, and since COVID, really, as elders, we started meeting 4-6 hours every meeting, and twice a month, really. I mean, my wife will tell you, and the elders' wives will tell you, we get home sometimes at 10:30, 11 o'clock. We start meeting at 6 p.m., and we go home really late, and we pray a lot, and we ask the Lord, and we really pray and say, Lord, what are we about in Winter Park Christian Church? And in one meeting where even our wives were present in a dinner, we started writing some things down, and I shared those things with the staff last year and some of the leaders around here. And I went and did a survey in these 7 areas that I'm going to mention today. I did a survey, what areas in these 7 areas, what areas are we doing good and what areas are we not doing so good, and we need to change things. And we need to question everything we do, because that's the time in which we live, where we need to make sure that we are focused, we are really intentional about what we do, and we stop doing what is not working and is not necessary, but then we go about the business of the Lord, okay? And the first thing that we wrote in that piece of paper as a priority is teaching the truth of God. If we are going to be connected in fellowship for service and growth, our main aim in this congregation is to teach the truth of God. And you know it. I mean, you've been here. If you're part of our church, we have people visiting this morning. And most of you that I say hi to you this morning, you say we look at the website and we see that you guys teach the truth, the message of God. And we try to do that because that's the only business that we are about to. Amen? The truth. There's no other business for the church, really. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, I hope to come to you soon. Timothy is a pastor in the church of Ephesus. And he said, I want to go see you and spend time with you, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you know, Paul didn't know when he was going to be there. And he said, if I'm not there, I want you to know some things. Look what he says. If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. The direction, the conduct, the way we proceed in every aspect of ministry in the house of God needs to be known from the apostles, from the teaching of the Word of God, which is the church of the living God. That's the household of God. We are the household of God. And he says, the church of the living God needs to be a pillar and buttress of the truth. All, I mean, really, if the church is not teaching and preaching the truth and living the truth, we're just wasting our time, right? We are. And we are committed to do that through everything that we do. And we ask God and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to change? How do you want us to minister the people and also minister the community in which we live? So the truth of God is the foundation of the structure of everything we do as elders and servants and the school. And we want to put that in action. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, later in another letter, Paul says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. How many of you want to be approved? It's only through the Word of God. Look what it says. A worker who has no need to be ashamed. A servant of God who is always firm and he knows that he's going to be rewarded and he's going to be told, good and faithful servant, because you're doing the right thing. How do we do that? How do we are approved and without shaming us? Look what it says. Rightly handling the word of truth. Every sect, every denomination, every new idea, the woke idea, everything that is going on in America today, the extreme political church that is trying to change America from because we are Christians and they need to follow and do what we say instead of letting God be God in the nation. All these ideas, everybody's trying to, in some way, justify themselves from the Word of God. But there is a right way to handle the Word of God and there is a wrong way to handle the Word of God. Amen? And the Bible is clear about that. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, there are those that are, they have no doctrine. And they are inconsistent. They are not going forward. And they use the Word of God to actually come up with their own ideas and actually to go in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. Now, that's one thing. The other thing that I want to bring here this morning is worship. The necessity, the importance of worshiping the Lord. And praise God for our worship team. Praise God for John. Praise God for Melissa and everyone who steps up. And he's doing a wonderful job. I love to worship the Lord. I love it. I mean, sometimes people say, well, one thing you guys do is you do a lot of songs. We sing a lot. Don't come to sing. There is a difference between singing and worshiping. How many of you know that? You know that? And I've been there where I'm singing and I'm kind of following along. Well, I try to sing, right? But the bottom line is this. Worshiping is different. It's that moment when that song is a reality in your life. And you bow down and you pray. And I look at this and we as Christians need to remember that God is seeking for worshipers. And this is the place and the modeling of how to worship the Lord. And I love when God interrupts our meetings. That's how I like to call it. When He enters the presence of this room. And when all of a sudden, you know, we are encouraged to praise Him and worship Him, but also encouraged in such a way that sin is no longer a problem. Hurt is no longer a reality. Forgiveness takes place. And we are not longer in mindful of the time, mindful of what's going on around us, but we are just in God's presence. Are you there? Are you there? Let me ask you that. Let me ask the kids this. Have you ever been in the presence of God in such a way that you know God is real and speaking to you? Look what Paul says in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God." We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. It's not because we sing well or we play well or because we are clapping our hands or raising them. No, it is because we are in the presence of the Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. And then we glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about entering into that presence of the Lord. Now, our Sunday morning corporate worship should be a time of praise, adoration, and yes, encouragement that leads us to glorify God and spirit and in spirit and in truth. And as we get together, we are the body of Christ, and we corporate should seek for the presence of God as we worship. That is an encouragement for the worship team, but also as the worship team leads us, we are to be doing that. And as I think of this, you know, worship is just here in the house of God. I want to mention to you this, that as we are the house of God together, it's just part of our worship time, because we need to worship God all the time. Amen? Everything we do it as unto the Lord. Amen? In fact, when I learned this, my mind was just excited about it, my heart, because I realized that the same activity, the same area in the brain that is in activity when we worship, is actually in activity when we also work, and we work in the place where we love to work. How many of you love what you do? Okay, 3, 4, 5 people now. That's a lot better than this morning. This morning was one of them, you know. You've got to change careers if you don't like what you're doing, okay? But let me tell you something. When you are worshiping, when you are actually working in the place that you love to work, it's fun, isn't it? Time goes faster. You are productive. You want to do everything right. And it's funny that when you are working in that place that you love, that brain place where you worship is in the same way as in activity. And I think it's because God created work before the fall. You know that? And work was something meaningful. And God gives us work for us to worship Him. And through that, we worship Him because we do it for Him, whatever we do. Anyways, I don't want to go on that branch too far. I just want to let you know, worshiping is not just here inside. Worshiping is also out where we are. But you know, here we have the opportunity to disconnect from everything, to be with brothers and sisters here in the house and in the body of Christ, and to be in prayer. Let's be who we are. Amen? In the Lord. Amen? Can we do that? Can we come to church and say, "Lord, touch me, fill me anew with your presence. Let me raise my hands in this congregation or clap if I need to. And yes, when I need prayer, can I go to the stage and actually pray? Bow down and maybe ask somebody to pray for me." Can we do that? Can we be genuine about this? I mean, let's do that. Let's grow in our intentionality of worshiping the Lord as we are together. But also, number three here is discipling one another. And this is, as we go into this, we go a little broader into the aiming of Winter Park Christian Church. And obviously, we are going to teach the truth, and we are focused on worshiping and being worshipful everywhere we are. We want to also talk about discipling one another through the Word of God and how we grow in our experience with God. Now, Matthew chapter 28 says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How many of you know that making disciples takes a lot of dedication and time and resources? You know that? It's not just making believers, but making disciples. And we look at Acts 2:42, the passage we read, and look what it says right there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They dedicated themselves. They consecrated their life to that doctrine that was passed from the apostles to them. Okay, you were with Christ. You know what Christ told you in these areas of life. How do we learn that? Because it took you 3 years to learn from the Master. Now, we want to grow in our knowledge of those ideas. So we are going to have to dedicate our time and resources and be intentional about this. Now, that's what discipling is. Discipling is being able to give that time to teach, to train, but also being able to receive it and to dedicate ourselves to that. And one way we do that is through life groups in this congregation. Currently, we have 6 life groups. 5 of them in English. You have this in your bulletins right there, and 1 in Spanish. So you could go to one of these. And you know, a lot of people is not involved in life group right now. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you think, okay, how do we do this? How do we grow in intimacy with brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking? I mean, where we kind of get to know more of the congregation and maybe have mentors and maybe pray with one another. It's going to be through life groups, through Bible studies, through different events in the congregation throughout the week. And in these life groups, you know, the aim of them is to teach. Learning is interceding for one another, fellowship, and then also evangelism. And we need to grow in evangelism. I will speak of that in a little bit. But as we look at these, you know, these life groups are, part of them are elders that are leading groups. And a couple of them are, one of them is Mike and Marty Blevins. They just started a week, 2 weeks ago, right, Mike? And praise God. There is people who's hungry, who's looking for an opportunity to grow. In fact, in this area of life groups, we need more life groups. And there is already a group of people, a leader here in the congregation, looking and investigating how can we, by the end of the year, double the amount of life groups in Grand County. That's our aim and our goal. And if you say, you know, I want to be part of a life group. Some of these life groups need to be splitted because the group is too big right now. So obviously we need leaders within the life groups, but also within the congregation to say, okay, we need more groups. There are Bible studies and events that are going on here. Tuesday is going to be Abide. My wife will speak of this a little later. But we have Abide. We have Bible study fellowship here on Fridays. Abide meets on Tuesday nights. Sunday school classes that are going on, and I will speak at length in that area in Sunday school. We have young adults, which is being led by John and Kath in their house on Wednesday nights. Glenn is part of that too, Glenn and John. And then we have fat men every Wednesday morning at 6:30. Some people don't want to come because they don't want to get fat, so we're going to change the name. And now it's going to be Fit. It used to be Faithful, Accountable, and Teachable. Now it's going to be Faithful, Introspective, and Teachable. Somebody thinks that's a good idea. So, bottom line is we will still have donuts, okay? So, whatever we do. I mean, I'm holding my own after 14 years of attending that Bible study. It's been hard, but I'm holding my own, okay? It's a great group of guys. And we meet over there, and the reason is we need to grow. And I love that group. You know, if you make a mistake right there and teach something that is not biblical, within 2 seconds, somebody will step up and say, uh-oh, that's not what the Word of God says. And then somebody else will do it again. And I love it. I just kind of look at that and think, man, I don't even have to say anything here. If I get wrong here, I'm corrected right away too. But it's a great group, you know, and we got to know each other, and the guys are very strong in the Word of God. If you are looking for a place to go, to meet, guys, and to grow, join us for that Bible study. There are many, many Bible studies. Grab a ministry booklet on your way out. Make sure that you know what's going on in the church. Also, you can see here many of the ministries that are going on. We are questioning these ministries and saying, Lord, is this necessary? Is this what you want us to be doing? And if God provides the leadership and the people, we are going to continue to do those. But if God says, in a way, he's confirming that that's not the direction that we should be going, we're going to stop going into that direction. Now, also, we want to encourage you to develop friendships for mentoring and accountability. Connect with somebody here in the church. And as you do that, look for ways to serve one another and to be a missionary to other people in the community. In regard to missions, we support what God is doing in our region, in our country, through different parachurch organizations like PRC, Timberline, the YMCA here and Young Life, and support them in many ways, but also try to do some of the things that they're doing with them or invite them over to the facility here and let them use it when they need it, because we are the body of Christ in this community. And then, you know, we are very committed to missionaries. We have 6 couples that are leading and leading missions and going out in missions. Glenn is in charge of that. In fact, Stephen and Bailey have a video that they just sent last week. I mean, it's the perfect timing. So I want you to see it here for a moment. I'm not even going to step down because it's a short video.
Hey, Winter Park family.
This is Stephen and Bailey. We are in Migegero, Burundi.
And we just wanted to come to you from the construction site of one of the brand new church plants to thank you for helping us do church planting across Burundi.
Our vision has been to put a healthy church within walking distance of every Burundian, and this one is somewhere around number 54 or number 55, so this has been great that you have stood with us to make this happen.
Thank you so much. You're a huge part of seeing these communities transformed with the gospel of Jesus. We love you guys, and as we like to say in Kirundi,
Murakoze! Thank you very much.
God, what a beautiful thing to be part of what others are doing in other places in the world, and the church is growing over there. I mean, more than 50 churches planted in the last few years. What a blessing. And we are very committed to that in all the way, helping them and bringing them to at least once a year so that they will share with us the message of God and what God is doing with them. And we as a church know how God is using them. Stephen and Bailey are coming in April, and we're already working on a preaching, teaching calendar here for the year. And some of these missionaries are already set on which days they will be here, and also the elders when they are going to be preaching. We want to be intentional in how we do this and make sure that we're always doing what God is calling us. Now, I'm going to move into number four here, which is evangelism. And in our questioning and praying, we realize that this is an area where we as a church need to grow. And part of this group that is investigating in regard to life groups, also they are moving forward with a plan on how to learn and a teaching on how to learn how to evangelize people in our community and in our time. Because as we look in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, look what he says. When Christ saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. First of all, we need to care for the people around us that are not Christians. Amen? They are where they are because they don't have the Lord. And we need to have a heart that says, they need Jesus as I needed Jesus 10, 20 years ago. Sometimes we get into this idea of, I am right and everybody else is wrong, and therefore I'm not going to put up with them, and I'm going to be just angry and saying to everyone how bad things are in the nation and all this. Let me tell you something. We are here by God's grace. Amen? We have a Christian heritage, and we have the understanding of how God wants a nation to be run by. And yes, we honor our government in spite of how difficult things are, and we pray for them. And yes, we honor our police and our police force and all that. But let us also share the gospel, because as we look at them, they are harassed and helpless as Jesus saw them, like sheep without a shepherd. Now look what he says there. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, therefore pray earnestly to the Lord for the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, to send out laborers into his harvest. And I want to tell you, we're praying for this, and we are open to suggestions, to direction. If God is calling you in some way to evangelize and to be part of bringing the gospel to the community, we want to get behind this. Number five here, prayer. How many of you know that prayer is very important? Let me tell you something. When we look at this passage, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. I will choose to speak of fellowship later here, but also they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were praying together. You see in the book of Acts, in the first 10, 20 chapters of the whole letter, really, and you see that the church prayed together continually. Yes, we pray all the time. We want you to be a man or woman of prayer that is warring in warfare against Satan, because he's looking and he's just trying to find an opportunity to devour us. The Bible says that, right? In 1 Peter chapter 5, 8. Be sober-minded. Be aware. Your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But we are to resist him in the faith. If we are going to have faith, we need to pray at all times and be seeking the will of the Lord in our lives. Now, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Pray. You know, when you come to church, pray that we would preach the Word of God. Pray for the leadership of this church. You know, myself, my wife and I, we are under attack from the enemy. The staff of this church, We are experiencing a battle continually. As elders, encountering opposition. The enemy wants to stop the work of God in this community. Amen? And in the growth of the church. Now, as we look at these, look at Jesus saying in regard to prayer. He says in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Why do we pray? Because our flesh gets in the way. Amen? The spirit is willing, but the flesh does not want the will of the Lord to be established. Sometimes we are the problem. And sometimes the only way to change that problem is on our knees. Amen? When we experience the move of God in our lives. And when God is really working on us. And pray for these changes too that we are going to bring. In regard to prayer, let me tell you something. We have chosen the last Thursday of the month as a time for corporate prayer. It's not that we just want to bring all the services together or the Hispanic congregation to the English church or the other way around. No, no. We need prayer. Amen? We need to make the needs known. A week ago, we were anointing people with oil here and praying for miracles. We want to be a church that prays. And that, yes, we, in some time when it's necessary, bring those needs up and make them known. We send you emails with needs that are going on. But also we want to say, bring the sick, bring those that are struggling to church on Thursday night. We want to lay our hands over them and anoint them with oil. That's what the Bible says. And we want to be about God's working on us, not just us trying to accomplish everything, but saying, "Lord, what do you want us to do? Lead us." So we invite every Bible study, every life group, every gathering on Thursday night to just, if you are having something on that night in regard to the church, to cancel and come down. It's just once a month. But it'd be a good time for us to connect with each other and pray. Look what's going on in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. The Bible says that Peter was in prison and James was in prison too. James was beheaded. And Peter was actually kept in prison because Herod was going to kill him just a little later. And as he was kept in prison, earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The church is praying for Peter. And throughout this time, God opened up the doors of prison. An angel went and freed him, pulled him out to the street, and led him out into freedom. Now, Peter thought he was in the midst of a vision, but it says in verse 12, as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary where many were gathered together. What were they doing? They were praying for him. They were praying for him. God answers our prayer. Amen? We need to trust in the Lord and believe in that. Now, as we do these five things, teaching the truth of God, worship the Lord, disciple one another in evangelism, and also encourage one another to prayer, we want to do this with the focus in mind. And it is to maintain the unity of the family and the unity of marriage. Because if you know this, the society in which we are is trying to break marriages apart, but also is trying to break families apart. They, you know what they're doing? They're trying to tell your kids, if your mom and dad are not understanding enough to you, come on over to us and we'll tell you how to behave and how to do life. Right? That's what's going on. And also, as we look at this, you know, what we want to do is maintain that unity in the family more and more. In February here, we are planning to do something for marriages again and throughout the year, as we mentioned before. But not only that, I mean, inside in church, we were thinking about this. And I'm going to start mentioning this right now. We saw the need for sixth graders and up, middle schoolers and high schoolers, to be part of the devotions. Not the devotion, the teaching, the worship and the teaching here in the sanctuary. Back in October, September and October, when we were going through Mark, as we are, and some of the teaching was coming down, the elder said, we need the middle school and the high school kids to be in church. And it is sad that they are not experiencing what's going on inside. We love what's going on outside on Sunday school classrooms, but we don't want to make them used to, okay, you're not part of the corporate worship and you're not part of the message because you are too little. And then through that time, we started praying and find out that There is research, a survey that says that when kids, and hear me out on this, parents, when kids have not gone to church for 7 years, seven consecutive years, when they go to college, they don't have the need to continue to look for a church because they haven't been used to going to church. And that, the study says that happens sometimes. That cycle is broken when parents move from state to state. They go to church for 4 years and then they've been going to church all their lives. So these kids that are teenagers, they've been going in their teenage years to school for, to church for 4 years. But then as parents moved from one state to another, there was a gap there of 6 months or 8 months where you were looking for a church, you were moving, you were trying to connect, and kids kind of lost that connection. And when they leave the house, they don't know what it is to go to school, to go to church. So they don't look for a church. Another fact in this is that as they go to college, they are very, very busy, and sometimes they don't have that intentionality because they weren't used to going. Now, they go to church, and sometimes the message is way too long. And the reason is they were used to a 10, 15-minute Bible study and then fellowship, which is good. But, you know, we want to train our kids to endure 45 minutes of teaching, right? And let me tell you why. Because there is a time, and it's now here, when they will not endure the sound teaching of the Word of God. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own selfishness. And when they leave the house and when they're not in church, the college and the mentors and the people around them is going to tell them how to live life. And some of the things that we taught throughout the year in marriage and divorce and remarriage, they need to know, and they need to know how they're going to react when all of a sudden they are attracted to someone who is not even a Christian. Is that okay for us to do? So what do we want to do? Okay, we want to bring kids inside. We want to work on marriages. We want to work in the unity of the family. And through that, I'm going to speak now. I'm going to connect families with fellowship. In Ephesians 6, you can see it there in your notes. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, what is best for you? Let me make a moment here when I say this. What is best for you? I remember when I didn't like what my dad thought was best for me, okay? But what mom and dad say is best for you. It's best for you. What mom and dad say is best for you. And I want you to learn that God has a way of telling us this. And that's why it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. Ask your parents and say, how do I grow in the will and in the way of the Lord? How do I grow in my knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ? And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. How do we do that as parents? And how do we do that as a church? We want to help train and disciple kids. So I'm going to move now to the next point here, which is fellowship. And it has to do with families, and it has to do with this new plan that we are developing and I want to share with you today. And this is also coming out of here, this verse 42. They devoted to the teaching, but also to the fellowship. And when we look at this need for kids to be in the message, we said, okay, we don't want to bring kids to the sanctuary and just leave them without Sunday school, because that's also very important. They're growing in relationships with one another. And so what we did is we met as elders, we met with Sarah, with the Sunday school ministry coordinator, we met with some of the teachers of these classes, sixth grader and up, and we felt like the leading of the Lord is 9:30 to 10:20. To have Sunday school from 9:30 to 10:20. And create that space for Sunday school, but then a gap of 10 minutes for classes to break out, and then for families to come to second service here at 10:30 and be part of the corporate worship and the message for those kids that are older. Now, we will still continue to have Sunday school for obviously preschool to fifth grade. And on Family Sundays, we will just have regular church here, no Sunday school going on that day, because many of the teenagers are already serving. And we want that. We want to train them to lead worship, to lead the sound system, the the visuals are here, and to be involved in ministry so that they know how that looks like. So in that, we are going to have Sunday school for middle and high school classes at that time, starting February 13. But in order for us to do that, we wanted it to provide for a place of fellowship for parents to arrive and to actually say, okay, my kids are here now, what do I do? So let me tell you some of the things that are going to start taking place on February 13 in this vision. Sunday school for little women. And in fact, this class may be split because now it's growing too big and there is some excitement about maybe separating the class a little bit if there are teachers, somebody who wants to teach. Also, Sunday school for middle and high school boys, which is already split in two classes, but we need more teachers for that. And then there is also the starting of another high school class, girls, that is going to take place separately. Seems like God is leading us in that direction. And then at the same time, on February 13, Bob Cartmell, one of our elders, is going to start a teaching on the Holy Spirit here on church at that same time, 9:30 to 10:20, and we want to invite you to that. In fact, if you say, I don't have a life group, Sunday is my only day for me to kind of connect in the church. I wish there was more because just going to worship and the message is not enough. I like to be part of a Sunday school class for adults. That is a class that is starting on February 13th, and we like to invite you to that one. Now, in order for all this to take place, we said, well, so we're going to have parents here. Maybe some parents don't want to go to Sunday school. They want to just fellowship with one another. So this is what we're going to do. Because we have found that fellowshipping in the church is difficult at times in our congregation. We have heard that and we have seen that. There's people that come to church two or three Sundays and sometimes nobody connects with them. Nobody makes a contact with them. They leave. I have emails that people send and say, we went to church twice. Nobody really came and talked to us. Somebody said hi, and somebody got our names, but that was pretty much it. And also, I talked to some people, you know, actually from Timberline in the prior years here, and I was talking to them, and they said, yeah, we go to church, but not that often, to church in Winter Park. And I said, why? Well, the worship is good, and the teaching is okay, but the fellowship is hard. I said, what do you mean? Well, if you don't belong to one of the groups, sometimes it's like church is over and nobody really reaches to us. And it's just hard to connect. And I was talking to some couples this morning. They said it took us 6 years to really be part of a life group and start doing other things in church because everybody thought we were second homeowners here in the county. Somebody also said just a week ago, they said, we actually had to invite ourselves to life group because nobody really wanted us to go. And we thought, oh, this is kind of a closed group. What's going on over there? No, I'm just kind of exaggerating here. But they actually invited themselves to life group. And we don't want that. We need to grow in fellowship. So we said, okay, let's provide for an opportunity for fellowship from 9:30 to 10:30 in the fellowship hall. So in order for us to do this is what we're planning. And we had the vision of doing this a while ago, and we always kind of thought, well, not now, but we're going to do it next Sunday. So the Sunday school classes are going to change on February 13th. But next Sunday, we are going to have fellowship time in the fellowship hall. So we are going to start using the atrium doors, the fellowship hall doors, Sunday morning before church and after church to go out. So when you go out and if you see a wall right there, a brick wall after that door, remember you have to go that way, okay? And when you come in, you have to go in there. And we told this, obviously, because we want to be intentional about connecting. And we want to be intentional about serving one another. And we want to be intentional about producing fruit. So we need people, obviously. We need servants of God to do more. So we are launching a new ministry that is going to be called Greeting and Connecting Ministry. And it's not just, hi, how are you, what's your name? It's, are you going to life group? Who are you? What brought you here? And really spend some time connecting if there is time. So I encourage you also to come here early and connect with people before church so that you can make it to church in time, to the worship time. All this is important. We need to be intentional when we do this. Now, Tanya and Craig and Tanya Korkamp are going to be heading that ministry, which is the Connecting and Greeting Ministry. And then also, Dave and Chris Plumer are going to be heading the Kitchen coordinating the kitchen in the church. We, for many years, Jean, she's back there, she's done it, and then lately she said, I can't continue with this. And sometimes when we as a staff do the cooking around here, we just want to get it done and provide it so that we have the event. And sometimes we have our way of doing it. And this is the problem. We don't get people involved. But this is a ministry. In our church, lately, we've been having a lot of meals. And, you know, law enforcement launch. Last summer, we had the Sunday school kickoff. We had four or five Sundays where we had just food for everyone. And it was a great time. But it is a lot of work. So Dave and Chris had said, we've done this coordinating, and we're still going to need people to cook, people to serve, people to prepare and to clean after that. But we don't want to say this is a burden. We want to, and Dave and Chris are going to help coordinating and do what Gene was doing, coordinating the budget, coordinating the event, for getting to know you dinners, for every event on Sunday, for the law enforcement when we have those Sundays, and the different activities, life and legacy that we do, they are going to be coordinating the budget and the buying of the food and who's helping and who's not doing it, because they feel like they could give that resource, that ministry, those fruits to the church, and I think it's very important for us. So let me tell you, with all these, in all these ministries that I mentioned, Sunday school, greeting and connecting, hospitality, which is the kitchen, and then also ushers, because we need ushers, right, Glenn? Yes. And then also, as we look at this, security. Rick is back there. We need people to be involved in doing this, and sometimes the message we send is, oh, we got it all under control. Believe me, we don't have it under control, okay? We don't. I don't even know how things get going sometimes. You need to know there is a place for you to serve in this congregation. There is a place. Sometimes we're trying to do it all, and yes, we look really cool doing that, but it's not efficient, okay? Efficient will be that we all work together for the sake of the gospel, amen? And that we will all reproduce in the ministries that we are. And as we look at this, you know, if you feel like, okay, I could be part of the hospitality ministry or greeting, connecting ministry or ushering or cooking, you know, or in the security or Sunday school teacher, please look at the leaders of these ministries to get involved. As I mentioned, this is our heart for us, that we would get to know one another and grow with one another, that we would train our kids as they're growing up to be part of the church worship here and the message, so that when they leave, they be trained in the knowledge of the truth and they be used to going to church. That as we serve people, when people come to this congregation and they maybe come once or twice, they will say, what a great service we experienced. But really, we connected. We connected and we know that they care for us. That's what we want as people come. So we need help. Now, let me go to the message, okay? After I gave all the announcements here. With all these ministries in our church that require the service of the members, we want you to be involved. We want to invite you to be involved. Take this as a challenge and an encouragement that God wants us to grow together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says that when Christ ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. How many of you have gifts? Okay, three of you. Boy, let me start evangelizing here this afternoon, okay? We all have gifts, amen? We all have gifts because Christ gave us all gifts. Now, you may be in a difficult time right now in your life where you say, how can I help? How could I serve in my circumstances? Let me tell you something. God has a purpose for your life here in Winter Park Christian Church, regardless of the situation that you are facing right now in your life. God wants you to grow. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and 7, it says, through 7, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we all have gifts, and there is a common good, and that is within the church, within the body of Christ. Amen? Now, for you Timberliners and the ones that are here maybe seasonal, let me tell you something. When I came to church and got involved sometimes for a short time, I was thinking, oh, man, this is just, why do I get involved if I'm going to leave? In every space and in every opportunity or every season of time, God has a plan for us. Amen? Many of the things that I did as a teenager in church, God used those now in my life in many ways. God is always trying to use us for the good of the church with the gifts that He has given us. So we're called to identify our gifts and to make them available to serve one another in the body of Christ. Now, look in 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. Are you a member of the body? Why are you here? Well, I kind of like the area. No, God arranged you as He chose. Amen? He has a purpose for you in this church. Now, if you come to church and you said, well, they got it all, you know, they don't need me and I don't have anything to give. Let me tell you, you are neglecting the church by not giving those gifts to the church. Because they were meant to build a church. I believe that we have everything we need inside the body of Christ, which is here in this congregation. So you are here for a reason. Now in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as we look at the purpose of God, He gave the gifts, He gave the leaders, and then He places where He wanted us for the common good of everyone else. And then as He places us there, He wants us to be in unity of faith until we all attain the knowledge of the Son of God. And we all need to be part of that. And then eventually we'll get to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In order for us to do that and to be what Christ has in mind, we have to connect. Amen? And we have to serve one another. And then we have to grow with one another. Sometimes that's hard, right? But we grow with one another and then we produce fruit. Now I'm going to ask my wife to come. She's got an announcement in regard to Avive here Tuesday. Part of the women's ministry too, and what's going on Tuesday nights, which is this next Tuesday.
That's another opportunity for you women to get involved, to serve, and to enjoy. Abide, for those of you who have never been part of any, meets every first Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 here in the sanctuary. It's a time for us to have worship together, usually a time of testimony or a teaching by one of us in the congregation. We want everybody to get involved and share. But it's not exclusive. We also have sometimes other people from the community, other churches, and we want to invite other women also from the community too. So if you have never been part of Abide, we invite you this coming Tuesday at 7. It's the month of February, and the theme is going to be friendship. So make it a goal to bring a friend. Come and bring somebody else to come. And it's for women in all seasons. So we want to interact old and young, single and married. So everybody's welcome, actually. Last month, we had about 50% of the ones where we were here, young girls, and we were so glad to have you here. They were not only being part of the meeting, but they were helping and serving, putting the songs, helping in the sound system with childcare. We do provide childcare for those of you who want to bring kids, and we have refreshments and a time of fellowship as well. So please come join us, get involved there if you want to. Get involved in more like serving. Melissa leads worship for Abide. So if you sing or play, you can get close to her and let her know, can I join you? And she's always welcoming for that. We would like to hear your story as well. So please let us know if the Lord is prompting you to do that, to share or to teach in one of our meetings. And there are some other areas where you can help us with refreshments or organizing. So there's a place, like I said, to serve, but also to enjoy. It's a great place to bring somebody who may not be Christian in here and just join with us and hear the message. God bless you, and we'll see you Thursday at 7.
Amen. So Sunday, join us for fellowship. We'll have breakfast, actually, on Sunday, not just coffee and donuts. We'll have breakfast on Sunday, this coming Sunday. And then after that, we'll have donuts and coffee. But join us at 9:30. Join us before 8:30. Join us right after noon, when the service is over. And let's get to know one another. Let's grow together. Amen? Amen. Any questions? I figure. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. continue to pray for us as we do this and as we try to intentionally serve God in everything we do. Praise God for the miracles that we see continually, for Knox here with us today. Praise the Lord. Dana too here with us this morning. Praise the Lord for healing. There's a lot of needs. We'll continue to keep you informed. Keep praying with us in every way. Father, we want to worship you this morning, Lord. As we finish, we want to thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. Guide us, direct us, open our minds and hearts to you, Lord. Allow us to receive change, Lord, and to understand that sometimes change, Lord, is different and is difficult, but Lord, it produces in us the ability to grow, to be fruitful, to learn different things, Lord. You called us here. You gave us everything that we have, Lord. Provided in many ways for this church, Lord. Use us mightily, Lord, as we continue to do your work. And Lord, if there is anything that is not your will, Lord, that we're trying to implement here, Lord, stop us, Lord. Stop us, Lord. Hold us accountable continually, Lord, to you. Allow us to serve better, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we thank you today. Amen.